Good evening, Kansas City. You're listening to Radioactive Magazine. I'm your host, Brian Noland, here with my guest and very good friend, Kemet Coleman.
Hello.
If you could be cool by association, I'd be very cool right now. He's my good and smooth friend, Kemet. We're here to talk tonight about Phantoms of Kansas City, which is an organization that Kemet founded. But more importantly, a special event Phantoms of Kansas City is hosting with their equity series this Thursday, December the 3rd, at Uptown Arts Bar here in Kansas City at 5:30 p.m. with local author G.S. Griffin, the author of Racism in Kansas City, A Short History. We'll talk about that book, a little bit more about Kemet Coleman, and a lot more about Phantoms of Kansas City. Thank you, first and foremost, for being here, Kemet. I'd like to talk a little bit about you, if we could. You're a musician. You're kind of a jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking up a little bit. Having known you for a few years,
sure.
I have been amazed to see how many different albums you've produced.
Okay.
The Best Dapper Alive, is that the most recent one?
That's my most recent hip-hop album. For those who don't know, I'm out there. I'm a rapper, producer, singer, all that.
What's the genres typically that you'll cover?
Anything from rap to jazz to soul, R&B, electronic.
Okay, is there one area that you focus on a little bit more regularly?
I think most people know me for hip-hop, but, you know, other people know me for my house music and electronic music as well. And I'm also doing work with Eddie Moore in the Outer Circle and tons of other jazz musicians, so I'm starting to gain some recognition in that area as well.
The albums are The Best Dapper Alive, Bon Vivant,
mm-hmm.
Synesthesia and Synesthesia Sloppy Seconds, Fantasty, and Midnight Lovers. I think, first of all, Midnight Lovers is totally not celebrated, but I think most people don't tend to remember that one.
I don't know what it was about that album that got slept on. Maybe it was just released at a bad time, but I'm definitely going to re-release that. To its credit, or not to its credit, but to everybody else's credit or discredit, whatever you however you want to see it, that album was dropped when nobody knew me as a singer. Like, nobody knew that I sang. And so people were just kind of taken aback, like, what is this?
What was different about Midnight Lovers?
Midnight Lovers is my first R&B project. And so there was very little rapping. There was, I think I did maybe one verse on there that was rap. But I think people didn't really understand where I was on the album, even though it was me singing, and they probably just thought that it was me just on that one verse and thought that I was promoting somebody else's album.
In my opinion, you're one of the great collaborative artists of our times because you work with so many different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kansas City has a pretty good vibe and reputation for this, where if you're sort of coming up as an artist, you have a lot of mentors and people that work with you.
Absolutely.
I think you've taken on that role as well. On some of your albums, you tend to always have somebody else featured. Do you have anyone that you've been working with a lot lately, newer artists or newer talent, or older talent for that matter?
Sure. Yeah, I've been working with, obviously, KJ. Kyle James is a friend of mine from middle school, and we've been doing music since that time in my parents' basement. So he's definitely a staple in my Rolodex. Excuse me. But as of late, I've been working with a lot of jazz musicians. Eddie Moore has definitely been gracing some of my tunes and instrumentals. Dominique Sanders, who is pretty much a renaissance man when it comes to music, not just jazz music. I've been working with him a lot. And there's Herman Mahari, one of our more acclaimed younger trumpeters here in Kansas City, who just got back from France. So I've been working with him. I've just been working with a lot of live instrumentalists lately, and doing that to improve, or not to improve, but to expand the scope and range of my music.
Center of Attention, COA, is another sort of collaborative that you've fathered.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been doing with COA lately?
COA, we've been on the rise. We've been doing a lot of good stuff lately. We just did a song called Straight Outta Kauffman. We did that one about 3 or 4 months ago, and it's got almost 200,000 hits on YouTube. Thank you. Yeah, it was definitely good timing because it was at the crossroads of the Straight Outta Compton movie release and, you know, the rise of the Kansas City Royals. And so we thought it was a very strategic, smart marketing move to try to marry those two, especially you know, try to ride the wave of multi-million-dollar budgeted movie, as well as a heavily successful local team.
It's a cool video. I saw it on YouTube. It's worth checking out.
Thanks. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You did a little more at Kauffman, though. Your other group, the Fantastics, which is a totally different flavor.
Absolutely, yeah.
How would you describe Fantastics?
The Fantastics is a funk, rap, soul, jazz, fusion band, basically. Rock. I mean, we kind of just run the gamut. A lot of our members are from very diverse backgrounds, and it shouldn't work, but somehow it does. And so a lot of people tend to categorize this in a funky realm, but we pretty much just run the gamut as far as genres. We blend them in all kind of different crazy ways and have a good time. And the Kansas City Star called us Kansas City's one of, or probably Kansas City's best party band. That's what I think they said, something like that.
I was, I think I was trying to call you a few weeks ago, and you said, oh, I can't talk right now. I was like, oh, where are you going? You said, oh, Kauffman Stadium. And I thought you had tickets to the game, but in fact, you were actually playing.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was nuts.
Which game was it?
It was game six here at home, and we played on the outfield concourse right before the game. And, yeah, that was tons of fun. We played in front of thousands of people and got a lot of fans from that experience.
You're an artist, but you look at it more also as a business, too. I think that's smart. You were talking about marketing, strategic points of some of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Did you track at all with the Fantastics post Kauffman Stadium, the World Series? How have things changed, if at all?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been getting a lot of inquiries for very major shows lately. And one that I'm not going to really say what it is because we didn't work out a deal doing that, but I'm actually, it's amazing to say that we didn't work out a deal, you know, because in the past we just say, yeah, we'll play. but yeah, we've been playing some really major shows. In fact, well, this was before the Kauffman show, but we opened up for George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic in Lawrence, Kansas, and that was an incredible, it was probably one of my dream shows there.
Did you do that?
When did I do that? That was in the summertime.
That's one of those once in a lifetime.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That was nuts. I got to meet him and chatted with him for a bit. He's not a man of many words. I'm not sure if it's because of his state of influence or because he said a lot of words in his lifetime, but he was definitely a good guy.
Well, a final piece about you. You've done a lot in politics. You worked on Mayor Sly James' first campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote a great song for it, which I love.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was walking down the street one day and heard someone blasting it out of their car.
That's nice.
A campaign song. So it had some popularity here locally.
Mm-hmm.
But your background is urban studies. You've done a lot with studying the urban environment, studying urban culture.
Sure.
That's sort of a lifelong student of urban studies is, I think, one good way to describe you. But that is underlying the philosophy of your art, it seems to me like.
Absolutely.
This isn't just music for music's sake. There's a purpose. There's a greater sort of, I don't want to say message, but goal with a lot of what you try to do. And how would you sum that up?
Yeah, I think, how would I sum up my relationship with urban studies and music?
That's right.
Okay, yeah, I would say those sensibilities, the urban studies sensibilities, are ones that inform my music more than anything because of my, really it comes down to my education and my background and my father's influence in my life and his background and just being an African American here in Kansas City and in America during this time. We're in an interesting period. But I definitely thought that urban studies was the right fit for me instead of just black studies. Just because I think a lot of times people associate urban with African American black culture, but urban is more so just talking about cities. And so, obviously, it encompasses all these different cultural subgroups of cities. But I think that urban studies is definitely awesome because it's so multifaceted or interdisciplinary, I guess you can say, because we're talking about transportation, we're talking about education, we're talking about everything that has to do with the city. And those people and the social interactions and the duality of all that.
I guess the way I would describe it almost, to just piggyback off of your own description, sure. It's kind of having observed you over the last 5 or 6 years, it's not just entertainment. It's a little bit more. It's you're effectively kind of writing your page in the history of Kansas City, but you're trying to bring that more people into that fold.
Yeah.
You're trying to make it fun to live here and more wild to live here so people have a firmer understanding of the city and they have something to do, something to love about the city.
Sure.
That seems to be present in all of your music.
Yeah.
I mean, each of the different bands as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you've been successful in creating this sort of, or helping to create this scene, this sort of new vibe that's cropping up all over the city now?
You know, I don't want to give myself too much credit just because I think there's other, drum majors for the advancement of Kansas City out there. But I do think that I've definitely made some type of mark here in Kansas City, more so by inspiring others to be not afraid to celebrate this city and to recreate themselves and other people by also celebrating Kansas City. And so I think the culture here is definitely in an arc that points towards progress here in, as far as the music scene, not just the music scene, but the just culture in general, like the theater scene, the film scene here as well, the art scene. So we're starting to see a lot of groups that are rising from the ashes, if I may say that. A lot of reason because of people like me who, when it wasn't cool to like Kansas City, and, you know, I'm only 28, but, yeah, you know, but I know from my generation, a lot of people thought it wasn't cool to like Kansas City, and so they wanted to move as fast as possible. But now we're seeing people that left that say, that come back for Christmas and say they're in L.A. They're like, man, I don't know. I never thought I would move back, but Kansas, there's something going on here. I think I might move back. And so I'm hearing a lot of that, and I think it's great, and I would like to see that continue. And so I'm going to continue to do my part, whether that's through music, whether that's through fans of Kansas City, whether that's through anything else I'm doing to try to advance the city.
I think it's underappreciated, though. You mentioned Dominique Sanders a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. He's a good example, too. He not long ago told me he had an album release party in New York. I mean,
sure.
He did the same thing not long ago as
yeah.
well.
Uh-huh.
And that, to me, is your home is Kansas City. You're rooted here, but you're going to these other places just sort of spread the KC love.
And yeah.
Not everyone does that. They go to New York, and they stay in New York, and that's the end of the story.
Exactly.
How has the trip as an ambassador to Kansas City, to some of these other music environments you've mm-hmm. played to, how's that going? Are people starting to say, this is a unique Kansas City flavor? This is KC Mo.
Well, it used to be where, you know, people would say, oh, where's that? Or like, you know, they think I live on a farm, or they didn't know if, you know, what, they're confused about the state, you know, what state I'm in, which is a very confusing thing because, you know, Kansas City is named after Kansas River, or the Kansas Indian tribe. And so, yeah, there's a lot of confusion or just complete and utter ignorance towards the city. But now when I go around the country, whether that is because of all these articles that come out that say Kansas City is the top 5 city for young professionals or whatever, there's definitely a buzz that people hear about, and they don't really they still don't know to the full extent like what's going on here, but they're definitely starting to hear some good things and say, well, I might want to pay a visit.
I'm a little bit okay with that. I think having Kansas City be one of the best-kept secrets is kind of nice because then you have less congestion. And you know.
Yeah, I know. And we're very comfortable here.
Maybe too comfortable.
Maybe a little too comfortable here in Kansas City. And I don't know. I think and that's where urban studies comes in because with smart urban planning, you can handle all these different people that come in from different cities. And so that's a whole different story. But, yeah, I think that I think Kansas City is doing something really good, and hopefully we can try to do whatever we can to continue it.
And this show, Radioactive Magazine, for typical listeners, this is probably not the typical show, but I think mm-hmm. Radioactive Magazine's done a really good job of trying to promote progressive social values. But, you know, I think I at least want to do more talks about cultural issues going on in the city because they inform so much about what's really going on.
Sure.
You know, politics is, it's an interesting subject, mm-hmm. but sometimes you don't get to the people who are actually affected by things. You don't
exactly.
get to the people who aren't reading the Kansas City Star every day
sure.
or the blogs. And I think music does that in a different way.
Absolutely.
And your music, you know, you're not out there talking about positive social moral values or anything like that. But, you know, you're making Kansas City something that's more enjoyable, entertaining, fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think one of the reasons that you started Phantoms of Kansas City, which is one of the other topics tonight.
Yeah.
Phantoms of Kansas City, I'm excited about it. It's over 2 years now
sure, yeah.
in the making.
Mm-hmm,
It's a nonprofit organization effectively dedicated to kind of spreading the Kansas City love, making people informed about the city's background, its roots, but doing it in a way that's celebratory. It's
sure.
not just sort of a stale, boring history. It's more than that.
Yeah.
Here's sort of a celebration of some very unique, lesser-known story
mm-hmm.
about this city.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How's Phantoms been going? What can you tell
Phantoms
us about
Phantoms is doing well. We just did our most recent one that we did was with a website publication called Squeezebox, and we put on this thing called Slant KC, and essentially it was a theatrical event that was in Slant. So it was kind of loose history, and so we took these different themes from Kansas City history and created shorts, short 5-minute sketches, essentially, from those topics. And so we hired some Kansas City actors, and I was actually one of the actors. I technically have a theater background, but it's been a while. But that was Charlie Parker. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, that was cool.
Skinny Charlie Parker.
The very skinny Charlie Parker that didn't show up with the horn at. But anyway, so yeah, that was a lot of fun. And actually, we have started a new series called the Equity Series, and we're about to have our second rendition of that coming up on Thursday with the author of Racism in Kansas City, A Short History. And so we're doing a lot of things to try to meet people where they are, but also give them content and in a way that's as comprehensive as they want it to be, the public I'm talking about, but not in a way that's slapping you over the side of the head with a book. You know, I think that's the downfall of a lot of these clubs, organizations that want to do very positive things and spread a message and get the word out about things that happen in Kansas City or history, but you just don't see a lot of young people or people that already that aren't already interested in the topic show up. And so what we're trying to do is trying to flip that script and meet people where they are. And so our events happen at bars. And so that's one way that we think we can meet people where they are. And also let them learn something. I can't tell you how many times I've heard where people say, this was awesome. I wasn't expecting to learn this much or care about this, this much. And so we're trying to grow these embers that are inside of people, these embers that have a passion for Kansas City, into all-out forest fires and burning passions for Kansas City by bringing in people that are the authorities on these certain topics, unveiling some of these invisible histories, which are just awesome, about Kansas City, and bring it and incorporating music and food and drinks. So that's one of the things that we're doing, and I hope that we can invite everybody that's listening right now to join us. If you go to Phantoms of Kansas City or phantomsofkc.com, you can learn about what we're doing and check out all of our upcoming events.
Phantoms, I think, has done an excellent job of exactly what you said, keeping it entertaining, keeping it fun. It's not just the sort of bare bones, oh, here's a boring old dude talking about some subject. It's always some exciting, energetic person who is just in love with the topic
yeah.
that he or she's presenting on.
Yeah.
I'm impressed, too. You mentioned Squeezebox Kansas City. Their executive director, Carla Deal,
mm-hmm.
wrote or co-wrote almost
yeah.
all of those plays
yeah.
in Slant.
Exactly.
Single-handedly. It
mm-hmm.
was incredible. That was a great experience.
Yeah.
And I hope it happens again.
Yeah, it definitely
Those were entertaining, awesome little stories that I think people were not totally aware of.
And sure.
I like that there are sister organizations like Phantoms and Squeezebox both sort of doing this, you know, promoting things through different mediums. It sort of creates an art in itself. Because
absolutely.
It's the art of creating an entertaining space for these sort of relics that how do we link these two things,
right.
the past, present, future. And
sure.
Phantoms has talked about, I think one of the best ones was From Nightlife to Daylife, the underground history of LGBT cultural life in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Stuart Hines from UMKC did that. Mm-hmm. Phantoms of the River, where Michael Collins with the Port Authority hosted a speech about where Kansas City was on the river, where it's going to be on the river. And the event was on the river.
Literally. It was our most beautiful event.
Yeah, that was a pretty
event. That was a beautiful event.
The Equity Series first topic was racism and labor, looking at employment, looking at unionization and the issue of race, especially as it relates to Kansas City. The speaker, Leonard Zeskin, is a published author who wrote a book called Blood Politics that's been very well received about racism in politics and kind of white nationalism and problems related to that. We talked about streetcar and transportation. Talked about Rieger Whiskey at Rieger Hotel.
With Ryan Mabey.
With Ryan Mabey. That was tasty and fun.
That was awesome.
And then several happy hours. So it's not always just, you know, here's someone's going to talk.
Right.
I think the key, though, what's always made it fun is these are not 30, 45-minute lectures.
Right.
It's a conversation. It's someone
it's
who talks.
A story. A conversation.
20 minutes, 18 minutes, and then quick Q&A. People feel involved in what's going on. They get to see when Stuart Hines showed these pictures of LGBT in Kansas City marching in unheard of numbers for Kansas City on City Hall in response to bad city politics and the Reagan administration. That was an awesome picture that no one has probably ever seen.
No, that was amazing.
And I think that's what we're going to see a lot of with author C.F. Griffin's new book. He's the author, young guy, white guy, which is interesting, writing a book about racism in Kansas City. The book, again, is Racism in Kansas City, A Short History. Why is this a topic for Phantoms of Kansas City?
Well, it's definitely, I mean, it's a topic because when you examine the history of Kansas City, you can't escape the reality of racism in the city and segregation, whether that be social, economic, or geographic. And so I'm hoping that we can touch on some of those topics in a way that enlightens people and not just a stereotypical way where, you know, everybody knows that truce is a dividing line of Kansas City. But hopefully we'll have an opportunity to tell people about the things that happen in Kansas City so they can have a more dynamic understanding of race relations in Kansas City.
And you said that's what I loved best about reading this book is that it's not the typical, usual story. It's not – I thought it was going to be really hard for someone to compete against Kevin Fox Gotham's book, Race, Real Estate, and Uneven Development.
Right.
Griffin does it masterfully. It's very well documented, well sourced, spent a lot of time I think, which is important, actually talking to human beings about their experience, about their struggle, talking about here's these other aspects of the history that maybe we're not hearing and learning about. I bring up or emphasize that he's a white dude because it's relevant to this because he wrote the book for a white audience. It's effectively, in his words, an argument against this notion that, oh, you know, white folks ignore the idea of white privilege, that people say we're in a post-racial world and they're, you know, everything's harmony.
Sure.
And the book does a great job at highlighting that.
That's good.
In particular, he focuses on a very recent history, you know, further back than the 1930s, but one of the dynamics he spoke about was just amazing to me. Then in 1932, we were producing more African-American doctors in the country than any other city.
Wow.
And you look now, and Kansas City does not do well producing black professionals with higher degrees like lawyers, for example. And it's a crisis nationwide. But Kansas City's unique history was told very well here about those different issues. He does promise to bring pictures that are less than popular or maybe never seen. I'm excited to see that.
Sure.
A slideshow at the event. Frankly, I think it's one of the better books written about the idea of reparations. because it encapsulates it in a local level. So people here can say, okay, yeah, 10 years ago, this was happening in my backyard. It's not something that's this old history that you see on the old black and white reels when Dr. King is speaking or when Kennedy's in office. It's a totally relevant recent ballpark. And maybe it's just my being an urbanite, but you know, for me, it's not that big of a leap to say, yeah, I totally get what he's saying.
Absolutely.
That's why he wrote this book, for a white audience that's not as well educated on these issues. So I'm glad.
Yeah, we need a thousand more of him here in Kansas City and a thousand more of everybody in this room right now. So, yeah.
So, Phantoms of Kansas City, what's in store next? After Mr. Griffin's going to come and give his excellent presentation on Thursday.
Sure.
I think 5:30, is that 5:30 to 8 at Uptown Arts Bar?
Uptown, yeah.
Uptown Arts Bar, I think, is a good place for these. I don't know if you've ever been. It's at 3611 Broadway in Kansas City, but it's a locally owned establishment. Phantoms tries to patronize exclusively locally owned businesses. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. We try to align the theme of the event with a relevant venue. Sometimes not, sometimes so, but Uptown Arts Bar is a relevant venue in our opinion, simply because our first Phantoms of Kansas City event was there, and this will be our second anniversary pretty much at Uptown Arts Bar.
And that actually reminds me, there was one that I didn't mention here. Professor UMKC Urban Planning Professor Jacob Wagner did the first event that we had, and that was at Uptown Arts Bar about jazz musicians.
Preservation.
That's actually something else I wanted to bring up to you.
Yeah.
That event specifically was about jazz musicians whose historic homes were being destroyed because they were eyesores or blight. Sure. Everyone else who cares is screaming, well, you know, let's preserve these things, because we're talking about Benny Webster and people who, you know, they celebrate this man in Copenhagen every year.
Right.
And Kansas City doesn't even know who the heck he is.
Exactly.
Same thing's true, but it's not just then, it's now.
Yeah.
We talk about this several times. Don Cheadle, Kansas City actor, nobody knows he's from here.
Exactly.
What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, he's up there with what's his name, Paul Rudd and Riggle, I think his name, and all the other popular, well, I mean, they come back pretty often, though. I'm not sure how much Don Cheadle comes back, or maybe he comes back and doesn't need to make a hoopla about it. Who knows? But I'm good friends with his first cousin, second cousin. And my dad is good friends with his uncle, Basil North. So, I think we definitely need to celebrate Don Cheadle. He's totally a champion in the acting realm and a Kansas City ambassador.
It's just crazy to me. We don't celebrate. That's what I like about the music, is you're celebrating not just you know, you don't really care about yourself. You're not out there like, hey, I'm the best, you know.
Yeah.
Even though your new album is called The Best Dapper Alive.
Yeah. But that's just the nature of hip-hop.
You bring other people into it. You're celebrating other people. You're helping more talent come up like you're coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
It's a lot of fun.
How many different artists do you think you work with in a given week?
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know, a few. Probably not that many, you know.
These aren't people like in your band necessarily.
No. Yeah, we've got definitely people outside of, I mean, and not just Kansas City. I mean, I work with some people outside of Kansas City, and I'm working with this guy in Spain named Kaze, and he had never heard of Kansas City. But he's from Madrid, and is definitely hooked on the Kansas City hip-hop sound, you know, familiar with Tech N9ne and JL and myself and all. I mean, this guy from Spain is just hooked on these really hyper-local rap musicians, and I think that's pretty cool.
So tell me, I think we probably have time for one more question, but you've got time to answer it. What do you see next for Phantoms?
Phantoms of Kansas City, we're going to continue to grow in a way that definitely pushes the envelope and is innovative in the way that we approach our events. So, you know, on one hand we have history, but on the other hand we try to incorporate something else, something that's cultural, something that's fresh and unique. And we're also partnering up with a lot of different organizations. So the Jewish Federation of Kansas City is one of the collaborators we've been working with, and we've got an event in February that talks about the Jewish and black history of Kansas City and how those align. And that just happens to be on Black History Month, and so we definitely are excited for that collaboration.
Well, my guest tonight was Kemet the Phantom Coleman, artist, best dapper alive, talking about Phantoms of Kansas City, looking at the book Racism in Kansas City, A Short History by local artist G.S. Griffin. We appreciate you listening, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.